place of expectation, because all through the Bible, I say it a lot here, because you know, we can come to the house of the Lord and have cares, troubles, problems, all of that stuff, and not be in a place of believing God, so to speak, confidence in God. So I like to really say it a lot. If you're not in a place of expectation, go ahead, get in that place. Because all through the Bible, expectation from people brought a manifestation of God. Hallelujah. And God began to deal with me, I guess, a day or two ago. And if I was going to tell the sermon this morning, it would be move forward. And I just been kind of meditating on that. And, you know, when God speaks something to me, usually I don't really know what he means, you know. I mean, I think I do, you know, like take a step or something, you know, or, you know, don't just stand there. But how many knows when God begins to deal with you, don't just throw it off, you know. Begin to meditate on it. Begin to ask God, God, what are you talking about, you know. What are you, just like, you know, telling Teresa, you know, it's that dogged determination. And she's like, what's that? You know, go look it up. And honestly, you know, I mean, it's just like all of our lives, whenever we get a hold of the things of God, it, and we embrace it, it brings change inwardly. It starts bringing change inwardly, and then we see change on the outside. We'll see it manifest on the outside. Sometimes change takes a little while, but you know, there's one thing that I've realized in my life over the course of serving God a few years, you know, is he's a God that moves us forward. I mean, he's not one that wants his body just, you know, standing still and not moving forward, progressing and all of that. How many knows God is a God of moving forward into victory, taking ground, you know, growing spiritually. And that's why we need the Word of God. That's why we need the Word preached, you know, to us. But lost people they won't see revelation. They can't see revelation. People that have not accepted Jesus, cause these things in this Bible is hid for us, or not hid from us, but they're only revealed to the born again. They're revealed to the people that are surrendering to the Lord. That's how come before I got saved, I couldn't see. I thought, man, if God's a God that loves like these churches and my brothers and them, I mean, if he's a God that loves you, why would he put me here and then I go through hell like this? Because it seemed like my life was just full of torment all the time, you know, just one thing after another. And I'm like, man, you can't go nowhere in this life, see. I was going without God, but I couldn't see what they meant. I couldn't see what they meant, but after I got born again, I stood for 4 hours and tears were running down my face at work because I had been woke up. I mean, I was alive spiritually, and then I could see. I'd be like, man, I could see how, no wonder I'm in the shape I'm in, you know. It's just all of a sudden, I could see. See, I couldn't move forward without God. See, I don't care if people live without God all their life, they accomplish nothing. They might have had plenty of money, might have had plenty of cars, might have had all of that, but at the end of they've got nothing. They're bankrupt spiritually, you know. And God is as good to those kind of folk as he can be. I mean, he loves them, and people that's lost. I mean, God, Jesus belongs to the whole world. He don't just belong to Christians. He belongs to the world. For God so loved the world, everybody in it, that he gave his only begotten son. And so, see, if you're lost without God, and I'm talking all over the world, we may, you know, we're not a small church. I mean, I don't determine this church by numbers. I've seen it full. I've seen it empty. I've seen it half full. I've seen it empty again. And, you know, and all of those things, you know, will try to get you not to move forward as a pastor, you know. But what determines success in mine in your life is not the accumulation of things and money and all of that. It's God. God is the one. God is the one. I mean, I was spiritually bankrupt, and then I became rich spiritually the instant that Jesus came into my life. I was rich spiritually. I mean, I was alive unto God, and I knew I was alive. I didn't even know that I got born again, you know, but I knew I was awakened. I was like, man, what happened? You know what happened? So if you're lost without Jesus this morning, here, abroad, Facebook, Instagram, Beth's got us everywhere now, getting us banned and everything else, and then getting us back on and all of that good stuff. And when I hear about it now, I'm like, well, this fix it. I'm not going to pay attention to that because I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to move forward based on whether that's successful or not, or that's successful or not. How many knows God is a God that takes His people forward? He takes us forward in marriage, forward in relationships. He restores relationships. He heals us on the end. You know, the Scripture says in Acts, it says some were healed as they went. I mean, as we go and we serve God, I mean, we walk in the grace of God. But if you're not born again, you can't tap into the things of God. You cannot tap into the things of God. The Bible says there's no way to the Father except by the Son. That's Jesus. There's only one way, and that's He is the door to salvation. He is the door to God. He is the door to revelation. He is the door to grace. He is the door to faith. He is the only way. He is the only way to have life. And you know, eternal life, we get born again, then we live a good life here in this natural realm. Why? Because we're living for eternity. We're living for eternal things. We're, like Teresa said, you know, we deny ourselves. I deny myself not to go to church. I'm going to church. I deny my right not to preach. I deny my right not to do the will of God. I deny that right. Therefore, I get that higher life. I walk in that. You walk in that anointing. You walk in that grace. You walk in, I mean, He takes us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. I mean, we'll start out on one level of faith, and then we get that Bible. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing. That's how come you got people on different levels of faith. Some read their Bible and meditate. But you know, you can even do that and stay in the wrong spirit, and you still ain't going to get faith. You got to stay in the right spirit all the time. I mean, a right spirit is very important. It's like you run a bathtub full of water, man. You got it just right and all of that. And all of a sudden you pop the drain out. I mean, just a few minutes, that thing's gone. How many knows a wrong spirit will drain? You can be full of faith and just stay in a wrong spirit for just a little while. Your faith won't work in that mountain moving stuff. If you don't stay in the right spirit, you won't have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And it's hard to move forward and progress and see what God wants us to have. I mean, I've been serving the Lord a few years, and I am where I am, but I'm not where I'm going. You're not where you're going. We're reaching more and more people as we go. More people. I mean, they're logging in India, Africa, the United Kingdom. I mean, out of Israel. I mean, over there, you know, over there where they don't not even wanting to hear the gospel. People are logging in all over the world and hearing these sermons. Not just here. There's more churches that are reaching the masses of people. God opened these doors. I didn't open them doors. I'm not really. I told Travis the other day, he was telling me about Beth. You know, on that Instagram thing or whatever, she spent hours. And I noticed she's putting the men's meeting on there, and she's putting church on there, and she's doing this. Praise God. I'm not willing to go do all of that. I told him, I said, that's why God sends people that are anointed to do that. And then I'm going back, Beth, or y'all, or whatever, you know, is God, so that we all move forward. See, we move forward together. As a body, we move forward together. Don't let life stop you from moving forward in the Lord. Don't let these things, these cares, these troubles, praise God. And I'm not denying all of them, you know. I mean, marital trouble happens. Divorce happens, you know. People die in our family. I mean, all these things can happen, you know. Rough waters in the church. Rough waters in the ministry. But you can't let those things stop you from moving forward in the Lord. Because as long as we're moving forward in the Lord, all these rough waters and ruffles and all of that, they'll smooth out. They'll just smooth out. I had a boat one time, and sometimes you just got to move forward in it. I had a boat, a pontoon one time. My mom, I told her, I said, we're going fishing, blah, blah, blah. So a few of us got mom. She's on up, older, you know. And I put some blankets on there and stuff, you know. And I was thinking I might take a nap, you know, while we're fishing. but anyhow, mom went back there and she'd fell asleep back there and she just covered her whole head, everything, of snoring back there. Well, all of a sudden, across the hill is at Gunnerville, all of a sudden things pop up sometimes. Bad weather can just pop up. All of a sudden, boom, there you in it now. I mean, just all of a sudden, it started thundering and lightning, pouring down, rain. And then it started, water counts about like that, you know. And I'm clean across the river over there, and I thought, oh, my God. You know, this thing's going to slam us into the bank. You know, and then I thought, don't run from the storm. See, the Lord will direct you when you've got a right spirit and you've got a right heart and you're serving. Not that you're perfect, not that you do everything right, but you're staying in the right spirit. You're going to move forward with God. You're staying repentant when you need to repent. Repentance means you change your mind. It means you say, God, I'm sorry. I messed up. I shouldn't have did that. I shouldn't have said that and all that. But all of a sudden, I thought, don't run from the storm. And I mean, it's just getting the blankets getting wet. My mom would have probably had a heart attack if she'd have been awake in this little thing here. Because she couldn't swim. She was afraid of water. I mean, you couldn't get her over toe deep. I mean, not even on an inner tube. She had a fear of dying, drowning. I don't know why. Satan got a stronghold there all of her life. And so I thought, oh, my God, I hope she don't wake up. And so anyways, I take the pontoon and it's just blowing me this way. And I just got that thing turned around into the storm. I just got it into the storm and I didn't try to press forward in the storm, but I just got it at the right speed and left it and I'm facing it. I'm just facing the storm. And that's not blowing me nowhere. We're just sitting there and I'm thinking, just ride this storm out. Don't try to fight it. Don't try to run from it. Just ride it out. And so I just stayed in that storm, and I thought about it many times. I thought, this is what we do as Christians when the storms and troubles of life come our way, if we're going to go forward, if we're going to move forward. See, that storm didn't do no damage. I mean, I uncovered mom. About 15 minutes it was gone. And the sun was back out and the birds was, you know, and I uncovered mom and she wakes up, she said, why am I wet? I said, it come a little shower, mom. See, she slept right on through the storm, Johnny. Why? She wasn't getting turned over. I'm the captain. See, Jesus is the captain of our salvation. And bless God, he ain't got us on a ship that he's not equipped with. He's equipped us with everything we need. But sometimes we got to stay in that storm, stay in the right spirit. Don't get fearful. Don't try to run from it, but endure that hardship. Just endure it. The Bible says for us to endure hardship. Endure hardship as a good soldier. You know, I was thinking about, put that Exodus up there, Beth. God's taking you forward, I'm telling you right now. This is the children of Israel. And leading up to this, God had sent Moses down to Egypt and to tell, you know, the story to get his people out. He had heard the cries of his people and all of that stuff. And this tells me, I'm going to say this before I read it, this started telling me this morning, I'd never seen it, that they told Moses down there, "We just leave us alone. We don't want to come out of it. We want to serve the Egyptians down here. Just leave us alone." But it went in, you know, and God did a lot of things. I mean, hardened his heart, all kinds of plague, blah, 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 all kinds of things he did, you know, to show the children of Israel that he's real. I mean, show Moses that he was real. I mean, at one time, God said, stick your hand in your pocket. Stuck his hand in his pocket, pulled it out, and it was leprosy, white. God told him, stick your hand back in your pocket. He stuck his hand back in his pocket, pulled it out, and it's back to normal. I mean, a lot of things took place. But leading up to this right here, here they are. They're at the Red Sea. Sometimes you're going to come to these Red Seas in your life. You're going to come to these places. It feels impossible, and it looks impossible. It looks impossible. It looks like you're not going to make it. Looks like there's no way out. There's no way that it'll work out. But I'm going to tell you right now, God has already planned out what you're going to do. He's already planned it out. Is not this the word that we tell thee in Egypt? They're at the Red Sea. Saying, let us alone that we may serve thee. I'd never seen that. There's a lot of God's people today. Don't tell me about that tithing. Don't tell me about going to church. Why don't you just leave me alone? I don't want to hear about that. Forgive. I don't want to hear about that. Love. Love your enemies. I don't want to hear about this. Jesus. And he says, is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Not a good vision. They're not looking right. God's done told them down there. I mean, he told them down there, I've got a land for y'all. I've got somewhere for you to go. And he tells us today, come on, get your heart right with Jesus. I got a land out here. I got a journey I'm going to take you on. And it's going to change your life. It's going to bring supernatural provision that you know nothing about. See, they hadn't even been in the wilderness yet. They didn't know how God was going to rain manna out of heaven and water out of a rock. See, you don't know how God's going to bring the provision, the healing, the finances, and all of that, but you just got to trust Him. We got to trust God. Hallelujah. He said, and Moses said to the people, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You know, and the Lord said to Moses, wherefore cry? Why cryest you to me? I could hear God this morning. He was saying, you've stopped doing it. You stopped crying out. You started moving forward in the things that you could do. You quit trying to understand and reason things out, and you just started trusting me. And then we won't question God. Why me? Why am I going through this, God? Why? Why not? Why not? Why not? Why not go on the front lines? Why not be the one in your family that shows them how to serve Jesus? Why not be the one that stands firm in the storm and come out looking good and that people will get glory from God? Why not? Why not be? Look, good testimonies come from good tests. Good testimonies come from good tests. See, like Bradley, remember he was preaching, I was reminded of it. If you just remind yourself, this is just a test. It's easier to deal with. You're just in a test. You're just in a trial. But he told him here, he said, why do you speak to me? He said, tell the children of Israel that they go forward. He said, lift up your rod. And God spoke to me. He said, I'm not giving my people a rod. He said, but I've given them the word and the shield of faith. He said, I've given them the weapons just like Moses had the rod. He said, I've given them grace and faith. Hallelujah. And you know what? He took that rod, and the Bible says that Red Sea opened up in a strong wind. A strong wind. Thinking about the Holy Spirit. The anointing. The wind of the Holy Spirit. But God caused a strong wind to blow through that. I don't know how deep it is. I mean, I don't know how deep the ocean is there where he rolled back that Red Sea. It could be 40. It could be 500 foot deep. I don't know. But I know that it had to be muddy. And he wrote, there was a wall on the right and a wall. What that means to me today, that God's got you. God's got us, hallelujah. No weapons formed against us will prosper. But we can't stop. And I know I was thinking about boxing, but Brad, you know, I was thinking about boxing. You know how that I watched a fight one time and both of them got up there and before the fight, and Tracy used to rent them, kind of, so to speak. Well, I'd climb power pole and steal us on the weekend. I climb a 40-foot power pole every Friday evening after Hotel Coke shut off. And I twisted a bear too, buddy. I just go up there, just bare hands, climb up there and twist it in, steal some HBO and stuff for the weekend. Climb up there on Sunday night and untwist it. Now they can, you can't do it now. They just hit a button in there. But anyhow, they got ready, and I mean, there's like, they get on there, and this one's going to beat this one, and this one's going to beat this one. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, I can buy all the cable I want today. Praise God. I don't have to climb power poles anymore. The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. Well, let him work with his hands and have to give. Then when you give, it's given back. Hallelujah. Good bread measure. See what the Word of God does? No matter where you are, you might be broke today. You might be disgusted today. You've got to look unto Jesus. You've got to look to the Word of God. You've got to look to the promises of God. These people get here, they see their enemy, and they're like, man, we'd have better off down yonder. They thought they'd fixing to die, Johnny, because here comes the Egyptians. They're coming back to take them. But you know what? God showed me something. I went back and read that years ago, and he told him, he said, I want you to borrow gold and silver and borrow vessels and all. I mean, he took all the spoils, and they went out in the wilderness rich. I mean, they was rich. I mean, they went from slaves, and God stepped in. They went from not having no money, they having to make brick and build walls to for their place to stay and all of that. They went from that to having wealth. God's way. God prospered them. God took the wealth of the Egyptians and gave it to the children of Israel because they obeyed him. Well, they get up there, you know, and they forget the Word. See, that's where you got to remember God's promises in the Bible. I mean, if you don't, the enemy will just talk you out of your moving forward stance. You'll get a doctor's report, you'll have faith for your vision for your future, you know, and then all of a sudden you'll get a bad doctor report. If you ain't careful, that's the Egyptians coming after you. That's the Red Sea. That's facing something that looks impossible. But how many knows the Bible says in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to them that believe. All things. Somebody say all things. Nothing is impossible. I was thinking about this morning. I won't mention no names. I was talking to a guy here a while back. A Christian a long time. That's all I'm going to say about that. And needed a little money. And so I let him have a little money. And said, I'm debt free, but I ain't got no money. And the Lord asked me, he said, what's he got? And he ain't got nothing. Don't got a home, don't got a vehicle, don't got nothing. Maybe the clothes on him, I don't know all these little possessions in his rented place. And the Lord told me, he said, that's why. He said, that's why I've gave you my promises in the Word of God, that you would move forward and you would occupy, that you would move forward and you would work and you would believe me on the job and you would believe me when you work for the other man, that I was with you and I would promote you and I would raise you up and I would bring you to a good end, a wealthy end. This Bible is full of promises that God does to move us forward. Give me the James, Beth. almost forgot her name. Oh, happy Mother's Day to all you moms. I should have preached a sermon on it. But y'all, all them Proverbs 31 mamas. Born again, you're a Proverbs 31 mama. You might not be complete yet, but we're walking with you. He said, kind of here, James here says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Well, patience means endurance. You know, faith and patience works together. I got faith on finances, okay? I got revelation. I mean, I got it before pretty much it, you know, got started getting anything on money. I'm anointed to teach God's people how to prosper. God prophesied that to me. He said, I see you with a fistful of dollars. He didn't tell me that people was going to get mad for me preaching about it. I mean, some people fight prosperity. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand. They work 80 hours and they get mad if you tell them to give an offering. They work 80 hours, though. I mean, they're after it. After, you know, it's easier to believe than it is work 80 hours. It's easier to believe God to increase and promotion and extra money and, praise God, less hours and more money. He didn't tell me all the things that were going to be. Now, I mean, I'm sure I get negative stuff. I don't pay no attention to it. You can't pay no. Bible says, while we look not at the things that are seen, right? You don't focus on the words people say. You don't focus on, I'm not going to focus on those that live their whole life and don't prosper and get anything from the Lord and get anything but broke. I'm not going to look at them and say, well, that's the end of the church. I'm going to look at the Bible and I'm going to say, even in my old age, I'll be bearing fruits according to the Bible, praise God. Long, satisfied life will He give me and show me His salvation when my body's telling me different, when my doctor's telling me different. I'm going to stick to the Word. The Bible says, whose report will you believe? Then Isaiah over there, Teresa brought it up. She said, it's not the big things. Isaiah said, the small foxes spoils the whole vine. And that's really the way it is. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, endurance. But let endurance have her perfect work. Why? Tells you why. That you may be mature and entire, lacking nothing, wanting nothing. If you let your faith work in the test, if you just face that storm like a toll, you might think I'm just telling you a story, but these things God speaks to me in the natural, I utilize in my spiritual life, but God, and they work. The Lord told me, He said, don't run from trouble. Stop running from trouble. He said, don't keep your son from having trouble. That's a hard one, Johnny. I could deliver him out of all of them up to, you know, I mean, and so I let him start having hardship. And I mean, my heart melting. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Oh, God, I could give him 60 bucks and he wouldn't have to struggle with this. But God told me, He said, you've got to let him grow up. He said, I don't keep hardship from you. He said, but I'm with you in hardship. I'm for you in hardship. And I want you to trust me in hardship. I want you to keep focused on me in hardship. That's what He says to us. Don't let the hardship turn us to turn our eyes away from the Lord. Well, I would never. No, but when you start worrying, you just did. When you started getting oppressed, then you just did. When you start getting sad, then you just did. When you start letting your emotions take control of how you feel and how everybody's done you and all that. Here a while back, I bought some wood from a young man. He probably in his mid-30s, maybe close to 40 or whatever. And he got bitter. You know, he's been presented. I know personally, I've tried to lead him to Jesus for 30 years. 25 years on and off. He used to come to my house. Every time he'd get in trouble, law's after him. He needs to hide somewhere. And so anyways, He brought me a load of wood, you know, back. I didn't really need it, but he called up, you know, and I thought, well, help the guy out, you know. And he brought it over there, and I mean, he just, my Bob, I mean, he's downing everybody. Everybody. He just downed everybody. Ain't nobody good, blah, 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 blah. I let him go on, with his little ramp and little, I mean, it's real to him, Johnny. I mean, he's very, very discouraged guy. Life ain't treated him right. Nobody's give him a break. Stepdad didn't do this for me. Dad, my dad gone, left me blind, you know, just went through. And I'm like, good Lord. It made me want to go in there and get the Glock 9 millimeter and shoot him right quick and help him out of his misery. I didn't think that, but I mean, it was that bad, though. You feel so sorry for him, you just shoot him, man. You'll be better off, you know. But I let him get done, and everybody, and I let him get done, and I looked at him. I said, you looking at one that ain't. I looked at him, and I said, they still people out here serving Jesus. I said, now, you might have had bad experiences. I said, but you brought me in it, and you said everybody. I said, everybody means everybody. I said, and you looking at one, and I said, you know what, man? I said, you need to come to church. You need to come. You need to give your heart to Jesus. You need to give your heart to the Lord. You know, because I'm thinking to myself, if he just knew the Son, if he just knew the power of the gospel, if he just knew the power, he wouldn't be feeling that way. He would feel like the warrior that he really is. He's really one. He's really a tough guy, you know, and I mean, a hard worker, you know, but he's lost. And so the enemy has access to the thoughts and the emotions of people that are lost. I mean, he has wide open access. But you know, used to people had pretty good morals about them, so they wasn't moved too much by their emotions. But nowadays, you know, they're moved by everything. Anything that moves. We live in a different time, different world. Why? We're living in the last days. I know we've heard it. But I'm telling you, we're living in the last day. This is a glorious time not to be moved away from the path. Hallelujah. They go on through this Red Sea right here, and God brings them out, and then he begins to do miraculous things for them. He shaded them in the daytime. I mean, he brought heat in the nighttime. I think it gets way below freezing at night in that desert place where they was at. And scorching hot in the daytime. And so God shielded them. God rained manna, you know. And the Lord told me when I read this story back under, he said, that is the picture of your life, son. He said, I want you to end up like Caleb and Joshua. He said, my purpose for Caleb and Joshua and all the children of Israel was to go in that place that I told them. How many knows the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie? So he told them down there, and he meant to keep it all the way to Canaan land. He kept his word. And you know what? Some went in. Pretty much the ones that were... he tried to minister to and get them to trust him. See, your trials are opportunities to trust God. I mean, that's what they was in the wilderness. But they got tired of manna. I get tired of hearing that tithing. I get tired of hearing, go to church. I get tired of hearing, love your husband as Christ so loved. I get tired of hearing, wives, submit yourself to your husband as unto the... I get tired of hearing that. I get tired of hearing that. You know, give and it shall be given. That's what they were saying in the wilderness when God sent them out there to bless them. The thing that they were rejecting God. You know, and there is millions on this planet today, and I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm not going to be one of them, that is rejecting God. They're in church, but they're rejecting God because he wants you to commit yourself or commit myself more to the things of God. Travis made up his mind first of the year, well, I'm going to move the praise team higher. I'm going to move, and I've set up my heart, I'm going to move the church higher. I'm going to do this too. Whatever you want, God. We want a greater anointing. We want greater presence of the Lord. Then hell begins to break loose. And I didn't go, oh, what is God? Why, God? Why is this happening, God? Why? Because I done been out there in that desert place. I done been out there where I'm wondering why. But I'm on a journey right here, and I realize my journey is going to be friction at times. There's going to be turmoil at times. There's going to be crybabies at times. There's going to be men that walk with us and women that are strong at times. But united we stand. United we stand. You know, I don't have to like God's path to walk God's path. Jesus was at the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember it? He said, Father, if there be any way, let this cup pass from me. God, but not my will, your will be done, God. I believe right then the power came on Jesus to go to the cross. I believe his will surrendered to God's will, give him the power. I believe he went to the cross in the power of God. And the Bible says that we go in the strength of the Lord God Almighty. Now, we will be without his strength if we're coming out from under that place of faith. The Bible says those that has entered into rest has entered into faith. Those that are trusting God, they'll enter into a rest. I mean, it's like people told me one time, don't you care about nothing? I said, nope, I don't care. The economy, I don't care. Well, Jesus taught me that. Jesus said, take no thought about your life. What you going to wear? What? Don't worry about your life. Don't worry. Don't worry about nothing. Don't worry about the bills. Don't worry about they cutting your hours back. Don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. And somebody told me one time, he said, man, for a pastor, you just act like you don't care. And I said, I don't care. So I picked up that saying, I don't care what you're saying. Because I picked up that saying, somebody would say something, I'd say, Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. I'd make it funny, but I don't care. What's wrong with everybody in your church? I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. I'll see them Wednesday or I won't. I'll see them Sunday or I won't. And I ain't even calling them unless God tells me. I don't care. Come on, I can help you when I don't care. Now I ain't taking on all this care. I'm coming in here, glory to God, are you believing? If you ain't, go ahead, shift gear. Get in. Come on, baby, get her in gear. If I'm caring all week, I'm coming, oh my God, guys, y'all pray for me. Let's get a prayer chain coming. God, this barely made it through the week. Yeah, that'd be bad. That's bad if you do that. You just say, I don't care. Devil says, oh, it's looking bad. I don't care. Devil says, you're going to die early. I don't care what you say, liar. Bible says, I'm going to have a long, satisfied life. So I don't care what you say. Cast those thoughts down. Say, nope, that's not God. No, I told God, somebody told me when I felt like the Lord put cows on my heart. I didn't even catch that cows was in Deuteronomy 28. All these blessings. Then he goes on, he says, I'll bless your cattle. I thought, there's my cows. I told my brother the other day, I said, hey, you know your cows are in Deuteronomy 28, don't you? He said, my cows? I said, yeah, man, they're in there. I said, God done thought about it. He's been a Christian longer than me. He goes in there and he told me the other day, he said, buddy, I found my cows in there. I said, I told you there's in there. I said, see, we didn't need them till we got to this place. We didn't need them till we got to this point. And so somebody told me, there ain't no money in cows. You know, there ain't no money in cows. And I thought, I left their prayer and I thought, I don't care. God told me to get cows, I don't care. God wants me to get cows. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, don't you and me lean to our own understanding. And everything we do, acknowledge God. When the blessing of the Lord, which means an empowerment to prosper, comes on you, and what you're doing is supernatural now, it's not natural. And so, you know what? I mean, you could sell calves. You had to get them up 500, 600, 700 pounds. You get $450 for them. Baby, I got $1,400 and $1,500 for them. I told the Lord the other day, I said, God, thank you, God, that I didn't listen to those folk. You told me if I felt like it and I moved by my inner man. And then you just triple the pay on it. Glory to God, you might have did that for me, and all these farmers are being blessed because of it. It's possible. That's why I say they need you where you work. They need that anointing. They need that faith in there. Hallelujah. I own my own business. If you ever want to walk by faith, you start your own business. Start out with nothing. Just move out. Move out there. Whew, yeah. You get all excited. Then it comes down, you're like, oh my God. And you're like, oh, this is what it means to trust God now. I thought it was just going to fall in the mailbox and it was just going to happen and all of that. So bless God, I'm in a hurry to get to church on Sunday with a check. Oh, I'm going to carry an offering. I thought you could only give it to him in church. But you can give it to him anytime. So I'm in a hurry. Oh, yeah, Sunday. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so I go in there, boy, and I put me an offering. Oh, Father, I just praise you right now. I'm gonna give you an offering for Weston Overhead Door. That was what it was called at that time. I sowed a seed for Weston Overhead Door. In less than 3 years of sowing seed, and you know, when I would sow seed, it would just really cause me to be trusting God. I mean, it simply caused me to trust the Lord. And I'm giving you my faith here, Lord. I'm giving you, how many knows that faith has action behind it? Faith will cause you to move in and do the things. Well, in around 3 years, it went from zero to grossing $500,000 and growing a year in this building before it was ever a church. I didn't think it would be a church. Somebody told me I was a pastor one time, and I said, nah, you're missing it. You're missing God. I ain't no pastor. I'm an evangelist, man. I know what God's called me to do. And then the Lord says, I want you to open a church. And I'm like, oh, my God. Now I got it. I went to that person and told him I was sorry. I said, you know, you're seeing into the future, and I wasn't. And I want to apologize. I shouldn't have been arrogant like that. You know, praise God. Well, here we go with $300 starting the church. Woo! Yeah, baby, we got enough just to buy the plywood. We didn't have all this. There was no ceiling, nothing in this building. Actually, the Lord told me to put plywood on the end of the building 1 week. And so we got a little bit slow, and I told my brother, I said, man, we need to do something with this building. And so I went and bought a whole bundle of plywood. And I come over here, and here comes the inspector with a condemned sign. The very week we started working on it, and he said, what are you doing? I said, well, man, we're fixing the building up a little. We want to make the neighbor. I didn't know nothing about it. God did. And so he says, well, I come to condemn it. I said, well, you ain't going to condemn it, are you? Well, now you're fixing it. I said, well, good. He laughed, and I thought, glory to God. Look at here, Jesus. Jesus told me to go fix the building. He told me. He knew they done went up there on the board. He heard all of that. He heard it all. See, he knows what's going on in your life. Well, that this thing become, it become Weston Overhead Door. So if you're in business for yourself, sow a seed. Believe God. If you're working for the other man, I was working for the other man. See, he's giving you promises in here. He said in Psalms 112, he said, I will increase you more and more. He didn't give anything in there of standards. He said, I'll increase you more and more, you and your children. My boy's blessed. See, some people get mad. I took that promise when he was six. And I said, somehow, God, you're going to bless my children. You're going to increase me, and you're going to... When you take a stand, God does it for you. God will do it for you. These promises give me courage. That now the Bible says that I will leave. I'll just take the Bible for myself. That I'll leave an inheritance to my children's children. They're back under. I told Travis, I said, something happened to us, or Tracy, me and Tracy talked about it. We're going to give them some land. Might give them a little chunk of Travis's inheritance. Well, why am I saying that? Because I've been believing it for 20-something years. That this is going to happen in my life, God, that I will leave it in. I couldn't see no way of leaving a part of an acre and 3 or 4 tenths. But now I got about 60 acres. I can give them some cows. I can put them by a pun if they want it. Got 3 of them. Had a dream. I'm going to tell you this in close. I'm going down the road, and I just had this desire to buy some land with my son. He's just sitting over there. I said, "Hey, son." He said, "One day, now he don't like to hang around me after work. I work too much for him." Just being honest with you, I work too much for the boy. He gets out. He don't ask me, "What you doing? You need any help?" We get out of the service truck. My truck's parked there, ready to go, and he's like, "See you tomorrow, Dad." And I'm like, "Okay." And we're going to stand around and talk. Now go down to Mom. They'll sit on the porch for 3 hours, but not me. But I just looked over at him, and I said, "You know, son, I said, maybe one day we'll all buy some land together." But he said, "Yeah." That's about all he thought about it, I think. Well, it wasn't about a month or so, a little bit down the road, I run into this millionaire, and he had this 40 acres. He tried to sell me in 1996. We was in this building. He tried to sell me in 1996 for $145,000. 1996. I run into him, and he said, "What are you doing, Scott?" I said, "I'm going to get a tire fixed here." He said, "I'm glad you are. We can make some money. We can pay rent." This guy's renting a building from him. He ain't paid him his rent. So this millionaire's wanting his whatever his rent was. I said, "Well, I don't know about all that." I said, "I don't know about all that. I wasn't going to get into a conversation with him about the dude there. Ain't none of my business, right? That's the way you ought to live. That's the way you, me and you ought to live. Ain't none of my business. That's a real, real good godly principle. None of my business. Everybody's business ain't mine." Anyways, I said, "I don't know about all that." He said, "Scott," he said, I need to sell you that 40 acres over there." I said, "Otis, I don't need no land, buddy. I don't want no land. I don't need that land over there." And, "Well, I'm not. It ain't in my will." He just goes, "Well, it ain't in my will." So that's why I say God sometimes will send Boazes into your life, people into your life that you don't realize cause you're trusting and moving forward in God. He's setting you up. He's daily loading you up with benefits, even the God of your salvation. And so he says. He says, "I've not put that in my will, and I don't want my daughter squabbling over it, blah, blah, you know." And I said, I just don't need none. He said, "Scott, I'm going to sell you that land for $12,500. And I said, "Well, by golly, get the deeds out." That's what I told him. I said, "I'll see." He said, "I'll have them out in the morning." I said, "Okay, that's fine. Get the deeds out." I left there and I thought, glory to God, miracle happened right here. I didn't even feel good. I didn't feel spiritual. Actually felt like I don't even want to be talking to you. I've had a blowout on my tractor and I'm in a hurry. See, you don't have to feel good to know that goodness is there. The Bible says in Psalms, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because it says the Lord is your shepherd. Well, I go home, I tell Teresa, and I start feeling not good about it. And so I told her, I said, "I'm not even going to do it. That old man, I said, I feel like I'm taking advantage of him. And he's in his 90s, you know. And I thought, well, his daughters are contested anyways, and blah, blah, blah. So I just decided I wasn't going back. And then 3 days later, he calls me and chews me out. "Scott, I've been waiting 3 days. I told you I'm fixing to die. I need you to get over here, blah, blah, blah." And I said, okay, Otis, I'm coming in the morning, man. So I go over there, and I walk in, and I sat down across from him and his wife, and there's another woman, and I knew Spike, this guy named Spike. He owned, I knew him for years. I didn't know this was his daughter, but she's married to this guy. So I sat down there, and I looked at him in the eye, and I said, listen, Otis. I said, his name was Otis. I said, you made the deal. I said, and I feel like I'm rooking you, although you made the deal. He said, Scott, he said, you can't rook me. Like that, and his wife says, Scott, well, he know, we know what we're doing. Then his daughter says, Daddy, I didn't know it was a daughter until she said, Daddy knows what he's doing. I looked at her and I thought, well, that blows everything I thought out the window. Contest it and all that, you know. And so I thought, well, let me see if I can get it for $10,000. So I turned back to him and I said, hey, I said, how about $10,000? Scott, I'm not going to take $10,000 for it. I said, fine, so be it. You know, and I left there and I thought, what a God I serve. You would have been saying it and feeling it if it had been you. What a God I serve. Just no time ago, I just said, we need to buy some land together. And God brings that in there. See what I'm saying to you? You ain't got to afford stuff. You get a desire, you delight yourself like Teresa was talking about. You be soft and pliable in the hands of God. Be willing to yield to Him. Be willing to forgive. All these things is tied into your Canaan land. All these things, you must stay in a right spirit. Let's bow our heads. Father, I just praise you and I thank you this